Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am Gina Gaudio-Graves, the dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from wonderfully rainy Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week at noon Eastern on Tuesdays. We have got a great show lined up for you today. We have my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in from the Ozarks. Hello, Ms. Rhonda.
Hello from the hot and steamy Ozarks of Missouri.
You're too funny. I'd almost rather have that than what we've got right now.
Well, you guys have Tropical Storm Debbie kind of hanging out and moving at a slow crawl down there, don't you? Kind of causing all that rain.
That we do. Oh, my goodness. Thank God I'm further south than Tampa. They've had over a foot of rain since Saturday.
I know. Yeah, it's just absolutely crazy. And could some of that rain maybe go and help quench some of these fires out in various places, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah? I mean, geez.
It would certainly be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, it absolutely would. Well, I'm glad that you are okay and everything where you're at, and I'm really excited about our show because it's always good to help people get in touch with some ways to get the most best results with the least effort and how to get the bigger results and make it so that you're not out there alone, and that's the kind of thing that we'll be talking about today. Doesn't that sound great?
It does.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and we do have some awesome people that will be joining us in the coming weeks. We're going to have Bev Mahone, who is just amazing with getting in. She has a wonderful book about how to get in the news without committing murder.
Oh, wow.
And she will be our guest soon, and we're going to get... my brand name just went out of my head from the PLR site, Genie Dream. Name just went out of my head. Anyway, he'll be coming back. His mom had died last month when he was supposed to come in, so we'll be having him soon. So we have a lot of things going on. And I was thinking that since I couldn't get things worked for today the way I wanted, but I really wanted to help people, just get in touch with things going on.
Sorry, somebody just knocked on the door. I'll be back in just 1 minute.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
Yeah. So what often ends up happening is maybe you're writing articles or blogging or doing videos and, you're just kind of paddling around out there feeling very alone and feeling like, goodness, I just wish there were some things that I could do that would get me more notoriety, better partners, more things happening. And so that's the kind of thing that we will be talking about on today's show. So there will be...
Oh, that sounds like a good call.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be just absolutely terrific. So that's what we're up to. And certainly Fritz wanted to make himself known, and he just did a brilliant job of it right there.
Oh, you got to love Fritz.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, so anyway... I was saying while you were muted about, people blogging and just doing all of this stuff and feeling like they're treading water and not making any progress. I know that your students experience that feeling a lot, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just really sad because you've got, brilliant people with great things to say, great messages that need to get into the world, really ready to go out and serve people. And yet, if there's too much focus on the smaller things like the blogging or articles or videos or some of these other things, it can just feel like you're pushing a boulder uphill.
Well, and I think you really summed it up in one statement there. So often, people really put their attention in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just going to go out and write articles and do stuff on your blog over and over and over again, and you're expecting that that's going to make you sales, you're going to be there for an awful long time blogging before you're really going to get to a point where sales actually start to happen. While the process of writing blog posts is really critical for developing the voice of an expert, as you develop that voice, you need to start putting your attention in other directions that really do help you to generate leads that then get converted on the back end to something else. And blogging is not usually the vehicle that makes that happen first.
No, it's an essential piece. Certainly, there's no doubt about that. But is it essential? No. Yes, it's good. You need material out on the web that showcases what your expertise is and that kind of thing. However, that's really not going to get you there. And, you know, one thing that I observe is that so many people want to rely on social media and blogging and whatever and are afraid to pick up the phone and call somebody. Is that where they are? And, I mean, that's how I get people on the show and all kinds of things is just a lot of times pick up the phone. I may connect with somebody first via, you know, an email or a Facebook post or even Twitter. That's how I kind of got introduced with Bev Mahone and what she's doing and ended up buying her Kindle book and making all kinds of great connections to start with her. But, you know, at the end of the day, it cannot all just be based on technology. The biggest relationship mover is talking to somebody, either meeting them face-to-face at an event or finding out their phone number, picking up the phone and dialing.
I can't even count how many people I've really either connected with face-to-face or over the phone over the years. And had I not done any of that, I doubt my business would even be 10% of what it is today, seriously. It's a really important piece.
Yeah,
and,
I have
know,
no trouble
part
doing
of,
that.
Part of my success came from, as I transitioned out of JV brokering and into being a coach and a mentor and an author and an info product creator, it came from that first series of webinars that I did. I did 72 webinars in 30 days when I first transitioned into this aspect of my business.
Yeah,
and
I forgot.
There are people that have been on my list ever since, 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years this August.
Mm-hmm.
It was telephone calls, right? It was getting on to phone calls with 50, 100, 200 people and building the relationship with them in a group, not one at a time. That really got my list to be responsive, caused my list to grow faster, that got the sales of my info products off the ground. It was really powerful. And people who are just doing blogging and article writing, they feel to me like they're hiding behind the virtual wall.
Mm-hmm.
It really takes putting yourself out there in a bigger way. Picking up the phone, finding some JV partners who can have you as a guest on a webinar with their subscribers, talking to people who can go out and promote the things that you've created. Takes that kind of stuff to really get to a point where things do happen on autopilot in your sleep.
Well, and then here's the thing, too, that you're really good about pointing out. I know a lot of people go, oh, my God, webinar, that sounds really scary and that sounds like a lot of work and they don't know where to start and that kind of thing. But as you, I know, have told your students, because I've been on the calls when you've done it, you don't need to have 20 or 30 slides and all of this fancy stuff to do a webinar, even if you just have three slides.
Just one slide that tells them the topic One slide that has your picture to connect them to you, and one slide that has the link for whatever you're going to sell. That's as much as you really need to get yourself started.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you have an image of your product package, that's fine, but you don't have to do that, right, Gina?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, it's great if you do, but don't let that be the thing that stops you.
To me, that's a part of making it more perfect. That's a
right.
part of getting more sales down the road. It certainly
mm-hmm.
isn't where you need to start. And you don't even need to have a product that's already put together to sell something on a webinar. Every mm-hmm. single product I've ever created, I've gotten onto a call, I've done a free webinar, I've sold the product from the free webinar, then put
mm-hmm.
people into the live call to create the product, and I got paid to
right.
do it.
Right. Absolutely.
Not
That's
once did I ever have to actually sit down and create an info product without charging for doing it, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I take that
really
back. I did my first one that way, but I wouldn't do it
right.
that way again, ever.
Yeah, you know, because you can get onto a call, and then you have, you know, the audio and or the video, depending on how you've done the call. You can have a transcript made and massage that into a printable file that goes along with it. And it's, you know, really easy. The other thing I think people overlook are some of the simple additions like checklists or resource guides that they could add to something so easily and add huge value.
Absolutely. And they're so easy to put together, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote an article on that's on my blog about like four easy ways to create a bonus in 15 minutes or less. And if you give five steps, that's a way to say five steps. Just write out what the steps are, put a checkbox and a date completed next to it, and boom, you have one bonus right there to go with it that'll really add value. So it's just that type of thing. You know your stuff. You know you're the expert. So once you get onto the call and you start talking and sharing and interacting with people, you are creating something that is truly alive and vibrant.
One of our mutual friends, Dr. Brad Semp, Brad's entire business is selling something he calls cash maps that are nothing more than flowcharts. That's it. They're just flowcharts. And he sells those things for big bucks. They are incredible flowcharts, but they are still just flowcharts. And people eat them up like crazy. He has, like, I don't know, 100-plus flowcharts?
Yeah, he does. He's been on our show, actually, so you can check the archives or just search for Brad Semp Relationship Marketing, and you'll find the show that we did with him.
Great guy, and certainly a model to really study and duplicate because it works so well. And it's not something that's only going to work if you're in the internet marketing niche. It's something that can work no matter what niche you're in, even in hobby-related niches like golf and tennis. Having a flowchart of how to improve your tennis game or a flowchart of what to do to improve your golf game can really be very, very lucrative.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all of these ways that you really can get better results quickly without putting in huge amounts of effort. It's just thinking of how many ways can I take what I already know and what I am teaching or sharing on this call and package it in a way that will help it make sense and make it easier. And I will tell you that, and think of all the people who are so excited to know all of your AskGGG links or whatever because they're resources that you shared. Well, even having a list of your top five resources is really easy to put together because you know what they are. You're the expert. And that's just one idea. It makes a really good bonus. And so on the webinar that you do, you could even give away a certain gift for people who are live on the call as an enticement to get there. And wouldn't something like that resource list or some other kind of hot list or flow chart or whatever be a great thing to do?
It really would. And, you know, you could even just publicize the number for people to call into a free call, not even require them to opt in first. Then from the call itself, tell them how to go opt in to get your freebie. Even that is really something good to do. I mean, there's so many different ways of doing this. There is no right way or wrong way. It's not that kind of thing. There are many different things that you can do.
Right.
When you're first getting started, your first goal is get that voice of an expert down. Really figure out what the message is that gets people to take action. But as you start to figure out what that voice is for you, how you need to say things to get people to take action, then you need to switch gears. And from that point on, everything you do is either about A, generating a lead, meaning getting people to spend $1 with you, or B, getting people to convert into your back end, whatever that might be in your world. That might be a membership site, that might be a high-end coaching program, it could be any number of different things. But it really does need to be something that you put all of your attention and focus on. If you look at Rhonda's world or my world as an example, you hear us talking all the time about one of two things, either our challenge, which is our lead generator, or our high-end coaching program. And no matter what we're doing, whether that's connecting with people on Facebook, whether that's doing a teleconference, sending an email out to our list, no matter what it is we're doing, for us, it is always about one of those two things. Right, Rhonda?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's not that, sure, we have other products, but that's the main thing that I'm talking about in terms of in articles or on the web. It's going to be the challenge because that's how people are going to get started. So whatever you have that's your get started, for me it's the Awakened Author Challenge, for Gina it's the 30-Day I Am Challenge that gets people started with getting great results. You start people there and then you take them by the hand to where they need to go.
And by having something that is dripped out over a period of time instead of something that they download in a single PDF, it really does make an enormous difference in terms of building the relationship. When they have just a single file that they download at one time and they don't really have a reason to come back to your site over and over again to get the next piece, they really just forget about who you are. They might put your emails that you send them in a folder and look at it again later, but that really doesn't do a whole lot to grow the relationship. It really takes having a reason for people to come back to get that relationship started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it's all about the relationship. So in terms of thinking of ways that people can get these bigger and better results with less effort, we've got some really good things that we've started talking about, so let's kind of dig in a little deeper. We've started talking about having something that's dripped out over time, be it a challenge or instead of a free report, you know, breaking it up into chapters or whatever that helps to build a relationship. We've started talking about getting on the phone, talking to people, getting to do a teleseminar or webinar with people who have a list. And, you know, so let's just go a little bit deeper into that. And a lot of people have fear of getting going with that and how to find the right people and that kind of thing. So part of it is definitely getting out of your own way and getting into the right mindset.
It really is. You know, it can mean doing something as simple as going to an event in your niche where other experts like you happen to be and just networking with people at that event to see if you have anything that you could offer to them. Like, could you talk to people who already have a list about getting into a call with them and their subscribers? That's probably the fastest, easiest way to find JV partners who can host calls with you as the guest. Just go and find them at an event. That's just really quick and easy.
Yes,
we also have a huge resource that didn't exist when I first got started. It's called Google.
Google.
All you have to do is go to Google and Google something like pick whatever the topic is, like caregiving, and look for people that already have a blog, an info product, a whatever, a forum, something that tells you that they should already have a list of subscribers, and go figure out how to contact them. Most websites today have a contact us form somewhere on the website. Try putting in a contact form. If you still don't get a response, then go look up the who is information for that site on domaintools.com. Domaintools.com. Oh, every single website has to have a who is entry. Now, some people are a little goofy and they pay a lot of money to have privacy protection, which prevents people from getting their contact info. But I'm finding that more and more that is becoming less the norm. Very few websites that I'm finding lately actually have their contact info blocked. If you just go to domaintools.com and put in any URL of a website, you've got a pretty darn good chance of getting the contact info for the owner of that site right from the domain tools info. Makes it really easy. And if all else fails, well, go put a comment on their blog. I am sure that people will respond to you that way. Just find any mechanism for connecting with them. If you add value on their website through a comment or put in a Facebook wall post, they're going to respond at some point. It might take a couple tries, but they are going to respond at some point.
They'll start seeing you and they'll start noticing that you do something that adds value. And it's not, in, if you do comment, it's not just, hey, great post, but actually add some value, add another point that helps flesh something out or even ask a question that is a meaningful question. And that type of thing really helps, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or a blog or whatever. It's amazing how that stuff will go. And here's just a little example. This happened last week. One day, sometimes I just wake up at crazy early times and my brain switches on. So I'm like, okay, so I got up and I did some usual morning things and I got on the computer. So it's before 7 o'clock and I had this nudge to go onto Twitter, which is, okay, not something I usually do before 7 a.m., but okay, I followed the intuition. Turned out in my stream was this post somebody had retweeted of Bev Mahone. And then I thought, well, that person, I liked her picture and her smile and her book title sounded interesting. So I started to check her out. I wrote her back. So we ended up getting in this communication. She actually made a little video talking about building relationships on Twitter and how it's really all about getting into conversations, not just posting your links and everything. And she named myself and a couple of other people in that. And so what started as social network was Twitter and that kind of thing. You know, I got her contact information either from her website or who is, I don't remember which anymore. And so we have plans to talk this week. So it really can build. Sure, you may start online. You may start because you get information from Twitter, Facebook, Google, or contact form on the website or whatever. But it's really all about taking it to that next level and being able to build the relationship.
It really is. It makes it so huge. I mean, if you're not picking up the phone and connecting with people that you're running across, you're really going to be there a long time with article writing.
Yeah, exactly. Or videos or posts or whatever, you know.
Whatever it is you're doing.
It's just going to take a long time to get there that way. So that's really, we can't stress that enough, of being okay about getting on the phone. And I'll tell you, I have just gotten on the phone to say, and I did this the way I ended up meeting John Hurricharan the first time. I just picked up the phone because I was really inspired by some of his work, so I called him and paid him a compliment. Well, that will get somebody's attention.
It really does, big time.
I didn't go in going, if I pay him a compliment, he'll pay attention to me and I'll get something out of it. That wasn't it at all. But I just felt like I could get his contact info. It wasn't hard to find, you know, and to let him know, because everybody loves to know when they do something right, when they do something that touches you or adds value. And sure, I can write that type of thing down, and I did. I gave him a, you know, testimonial that way, but just to be able to talk to somebody is absolutely great.
And when you do pick up the phone and call someone like a John Horitron, don't just pick up the phone and make it sound like you're just fawning all over them. They really don't appreciate that. Treat them just like you would want to be treated. You don't want to start a conversation out by saying, oh, I'm just calling to see if you want a JV with me. They're going to run the opposite direction and more than likely hang up on you if you do.
Right,
you know,
so
it really is a relationship-building phone call. You've got to start with, hey, I'm so-and-so. I ran across your website. I really love what you're doing. I thought I'd call you and say hello and see if we could get better acquainted.
Mm-hmm.
Start with that. Don't move into the JV portion of your call too quickly. In fact, a lot of times when I talk to people, I don't even get to the JV part of the conversation in the first phone call. It can take 3, 4, 5 phone calls sometime. It totally depends on where the relationship is at. And you've got to start the relationship off on solid footing, getting to know one another, before you really earn the right to ask for a JV.
Of course, yeah, and you're so right. You know, my formula tends to be to mention how the person has added value, not in a sycophantic, fawning way, but just being honest about it. And, you know, your desire to get better acquainted and then find out what it is that they're looking for or what it is that is of interest to them right now, in case you can help them or serve them in some way. And I don't worry about talking JVs on the first call. If someone brings it up and they feel that synergy, or they know me from whatever, you know, other places, that's, if they started, that's a little bit different, but I certainly wouldn't.
Exactly. And, you know, again, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. I've had calls where on the very first call we ended up getting into the topic of joint venture.
Right.
I had plenty of other calls where that's just not the way it went, and everything in between. You know, it really depends upon who you're talking to, where they're at in their life and their business. And you have to play it by ear and take each and every call as it comes. But it really does take just getting out of your own way sometimes, knowing that it might be a little bit scary, embracing it, and doing it anyway. And I guarantee you, if you just try it, it will not take very long at all before it does become something that you're comfortable doing. And the results will really speak for themselves. It will very quickly show you why you should have been doing this all along.
The thing is that not to get attached to the result. Don't go in thinking about the JV or whatever that could happen, even though you're probably calling them because you feel a synergy or a fit. But if you're just in service of the moment and simply being present with that conversation with that human being and making the connection that way, whatever you do will not go wrong. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Sometimes the first call will turn into talk of a JV, and other times not. But not getting attached to the results, to me, is really the key.
I definitely agree with that.
So let's get into a couple of other things that we've been talking about, doing calls with people who have a list, and by first building the relationship, finding that synergy. We've given you already some strategies, even with 3 slides, being able to get started. And those can be done with free software from openoffice.org. You do not have to own MS Office PowerPoint or anything like that. There's all kinds of free Android apps that'll do that as well. So it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be expensive. Don't let that be the thing that says, oh, well, I don't have blah, blah, blah. I can't do it.
And, you know, if all else is just not possible for you, it doesn't even need to be a webinar. A teleconference is totally fine if it gets you going.
Right.
The only reason that I recommend doing teleseminars, I'm sorry, webinars instead of teleseminars, is that it is much easier to close the sales at the end, because in a webinar, people are already at their computer. If you're going to give them a link to go and buy something at the end of a call, and you're doing a teleseminar, not a webinar, where people are not necessarily at their computers, it can lower the number of sales at the end of the call. But, you know, some sales is certainly better than no sales, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's not that you won't make any sales from a teleseminar. People have been doing teleseminars for a long time successfully. You will make sales. You'll just not make as many as you could make had it been a webinar. But do whatever it needs to be just to get yourself going and get it started.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's really good. Now, there are some other things that can also be really helpful. Is imagine getting a few people together to serve your audience and being able to do a giveaway with them. And I know that's something that you have taught people for quite a long time, Gina.
It's still one of my very favorite things to do. Again, it goes back to finding your voice as an expert. By getting together with, say, 10 to 15 other people who all serve the same audience, ideally, you want at least a few of the people that you get to join you to already have at least a reasonable size list. Otherwise, if all of you are just starting out and nobody has a list yet, it really is going to be a lot harder to get going because nobody's got a list to use to leverage to get results. But with just 10 to 15 people, it can give you a free something or another to give away permanently. It can really be something that's evergreen. In my Info Product Systems workshop, as well as my JV Systems workshop, both courses have at least one module, if not two, on this exact strategy. What you do is you go out and find 10 to 15 people that all serve the same audience, the audience that you're targeting. Each one of the people get together a free offering. Now, you can spread out delivering the free gifts over a period of time. So if you have 10 people, maybe you spread it out over 21 days, every other day for 20 days. People get something free. If you've got 20 people, well, you could do it over the course of a month, just so that you've got something, again, that gets people coming back to the site. You get the people that you're working with to do the heavy lifting for you. You have them set up an opt-in page that has their autoresponder form on it. They simply give you a link to this page. It has some copy on it that gets people to want the free gift that they're offering. You simply take all of those opt-in pages that your partners have given to you and assemble them on your website, so that on your website there's a sales page that's just a free opt-in page that says, sign up now to get X number of great gifts that will teach you how to or help you fill in the blanks with the benefits.
Right.
And then have each one create an autoresponder message that you can put into an autoresponder that delivers their gift on their day. Every other day for a couple of weeks to a month, another message goes out. Hey, your great gift today is from so-and-so. Here's what it includes. Give them all the benefits. Here's where you can go to get it. Send out the link. A PS might be, make sure you watch for the special offer after you get your free gift. It can help you fill in the blank with the benefit and remind them of where they can find that upsell. If you have each gift giver use your affiliate link for that upsell when they set it up, it can both help you build a list and bring in a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
I did a giveaway a number of years ago in 2007, 5 years ago in July, That giveaway brought in a list of 52,000 subscribers and made over $120,000 in 30 days. Don't tell me that you can't make money from a free giveaway.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what you're talking about, is that you are organizing it. You, as the business owner, you find people that are complementary to what you're doing. In other words, not doing the exact same thing, but doing something that your audience would like. You're having them each submit something that's free as a gift through your affiliate link, and a product as an upsell that you would then earn commission on. And you just simply drip those out through your autoresponder series every couple of days for however long it takes to deliver. And really focusing on the benefits is what you said that is so critical, Gina. Focusing on not just, here is your gift today is a three-part blah, 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 or a 10-page ebook. Nobody cares, but they care about what it will help you accomplish, what it will help you make stop or help you make better or whatever. So that focusing on the benefits is big.
Now, once you've got it all set up, you get your JV partners to all agree that they are going to promote this series of free gifts alongside of you. Maybe have them each guarantee that they will promote 3 to 5 times over the period of time. That's going to get the traffic kickstarted. That's going to start building your list. And it can be something that is evergreen, that you leave up permanently, so that once you get that list and you keep looking, you keep connecting with people on social media and you keep sending people to go get all these great freebies, for years to come, you and all of the people participating can continue to get new subscribers to their list.
Yeah. No reason you can't. And really think about it, promoting something every 3 months or every 6 months or whatever, it can keep going, and your website and everything can still be up and in place. So even between the big burst of promotion, you could still be getting those people to opt in to receive the gifts. And I think that's just really
I usually tell JV partners that they have to promote once a quarter in order for me to keep their product or gift in the promotion.
Right.
If they don't promote, take their gift out, put somebody else's in, and get them to go promote it to their subscribers.
Right.
Over time, you can continue to add new gifts in, send emails out to the people that had already gotten the other gifts. Hey, we got a new gift. You can get it here. It's
exactly
a great thing to do permanently, and it's a great way to get things kickstarted. Build a list of 500 to 1,000 subscribers in under 30 days and get the traffic and the momentum going so that you really do have some people who want the products you plan on selling.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a beautiful thing. You can add more people. Let's just say that you have 10 in your rotation. One person isn't really promoting or, you know, whatever, and so you can replace them. And then maybe you find this person, you go, oh, man, they have something that's such a perfect fit. No harm in asking them to join it. They can just be number 11 in the series or whatever, and add it in, add their information to the page about all the gifts people can get when they join, and add their information into the autoresponder with that email talking about the benefits.
Exactly. And, I mean, that's something, like I said, that you could have for years to come that could be building your list permanently. As people get into that list, send out the messages about the gift. But when that's done, then start a new sequence of messages that lets them know about the products that you're putting together. Let's them know how they can get into your low-end lead-generating products so that you can then continue to move them into higher-priced products and your back end. I mean, it's a perfect strategy for getting things kick-started.
Yeah, it really is. It's just such a beautiful thing.
And if you use that strategy first, let that create a small list, and then use the list to do some teleseminars and webinars with. Now you've got a long-term plan that after 6 to 7 months could really have you making a solid five-figure a month income level.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you're giving out all the gifts, then you start doing a series of teleseminars that will serve them. And meanwhile, as you can take one of those teleseminars and turn that into a your first paid product even. I mean, there's all kinds of things that will help to make this easier for you and make it work. But it's all about having that plan that is very strategic in nature and that gets you getting towards the results instead of just spending all your time creating materials.
You know, that is the least productive use of your time. Creating products or blog posts, either one, should be something that you spend a minimal amount of time on. The thing that will make you money is out there to generate leads that spend $1 so that you can then go and sell them something else.
Yes.
And I know for my students specifically, people don't come into my programs because they are all excited about working a 60 or 80 hour work week. In fact, they're usually in my program because they don't want to do that. They really are tired of working themselves to death, and they really want to work less but make more. Unless you're using these kinds of strategies, you're going to be there working your butt off, 60 to 80 hours a week minimum, and probably not making much money from it at all.
Mm-hmm. And there's just no point in that. So that's it's just really critical to do that. Now, you also have taught people about doing your own telesummit, which is, in a way, it's kind of related to the giveaway idea.
It is, kind of. Another really good example of something that can get you past that point of critical mass to starting to get results consistently, a telesummit's very similar to a giveaway. It's just that instead of giving free gifts, each person that you invite in agrees to do a teleconference or webinar with you interviewing them, and at the end, they're selling something through your affiliate link. You can do this on any topic under the sun. I have done tons of them in the past. Most recently was the World IM Summit, which was the World Info Mastery Summit that focused on building an information business online. Next month, I'm doing the World Speaker Summit. 2 months later, the World Author Summit, both of which Rhonda is involved in.
Yes, yes.
You can do that in golf, in niche. I've seen a hypnotism summit. I've seen weight loss summits. It's all over the place. Self-improvement summits.
Dog summits, even. I mean, anything.
Mm-hmm. You can do it, again, 10 to 20 JV partners who each do a presentation. You can do it over a three-day weekend. You could do it several webinars per week for a month or two. Many different ways of doing it, none of them right or wrong, just different ways of doing it, whatever works best for you.
Mm-hmm.
You then have all of those recordings that you can turn into a paid product permanently. Make it an evergreen product.
Yes.
You could also take the individual recordings, turn those into low-end products that you sell separately, knowing that if each presentation sells something at the end, that it's giving you both a low-end lead-generating product and a back-end profit-producing product at the same time.
Right.
No right or wrong way. You don't have to do all of them at the same time. But if you did some webinars, actually, I'd do it in a different order. I'd start with the giveaways, then use the giveaways to do some webinars. Then, as I did the webinars, take the people that were hosting them for me and get all of them to come together on a telesummit. That's a good six-month marketing plan.
Right, and the thing is you would have the time to build the relationships. First, by doing the giveaway, that would also help you figure out what people want the most in your niche, because by what gifts they download the most and what products they buy, that's really going to give you their voting with their dollars and with their opt-in.
Big time. It makes it so much easier. You no longer have to guess what people will spend money on. it will show you what people will spend money on.
Exactly.
How much easier would it be to create info products of your own once you really know what's going to convert? How awesome is that?
Yeah, right. Well, and by the questions that you get and what people buy, or the things that they ask you, the things that are bothering them, that's the source of those low-end products. And there's no need to create something until there's a need that's established, people start asking for it, and you find yourself helping them with those issues. Then you know it's probably time to create something else around that and get paid to do it.
You've really been a master at doing that over the years, Rhonda. I think pretty much every product you've ever created has been to respond to the demand that you saw from your audience.
Yeah, I mean, I have a list of things that I could create or that I have ideas for, and I just keep those in, you know, just off to the side. And once people start asking for it or asking questions about it, I then use those questions to create it. I had a bunch of questions relevant to how to publish a book on Kindle, and that ended up turning into a lead-generating product that's called Effortless Kindle Publishing, where I teach people how to do that easily. And one of the things they get is a call where I answer a bunch of the most common questions, you know, and added a resource guide, added the book publishing template, and a few other things, and just to give people some additional help with Kindle. And so that all came from people's questions. And part of the call came from a teleseminar that I did with somebody, and I'm like, well, there's no reason I can't just use this in the product. It was perfect. So I did, and then it's very little effort that way.
That's really great. That's a perfect way to do it because you really are responding to the demand. You're not having to anticipate and guess. You just do what people ask you for.
No, and it started by looking at the demand for what people wanted to know about Kindle publishing, and because Kindle publishing is such a big deal, and there are a lot of questions about it. So that's really what started it, just paying attention to the questions, paying attention to the need. So, and that made it so easy. It was no problem for me to answer those questions. If anyone, when you're an expert on something, if you don't know the answer right off the top of your head, you certainly know where to go find it quickly.
And, you know, this is really, to me, the bigger issue. So often I see people who are trying to figure out what to do in their business, and the reason that they're really struggling is because they're not an expert in something.
Uh-huh.
You know, if that really is you, if you really don't have an area of expertise, trying to make yourself into an expert can be really difficult if you really are not an expert. In my mind, that's the biggest reason for going into affiliate marketing instead of becoming a product creator yourself. If you don't have an area of expertise, don't even try to make yourself into something you're not. Just become an affiliate marketer. You can make a lot of money selling other people's products easily.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have at least a really strong passion for something. But if you don't necessarily have an expertise in that something, well, just let everybody know that while you really don't have an area of expertise where you're really the expert, you really do have a strong passion, and therefore you've gone out and done the hard work, done the research to find out who the experts really are, and you're going to filter through all of that stuff to bring your audience those experts that you have come across that have really helped you learn more about this topic. That
and you can
is a really winning strategy.
It is, and you can still do telesummits and teleseminars and giveaways and whatever. You find those people that have the kinds of products that you are passionate and excited about. You don't have to be the expert, but find those people, bring them together, right? It doesn't mean that you have to create everything on your own. Not everybody wants to create products or create a business or whatever.
Well, you know, this is one of the biggest things that I look at when I do the Wednesday afternoon gold calls every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. I'm really looking at the person's goals, where they want to go, the kind of life they want to lead, and where they're at right now. What do they have to work with? And finding out all that stuff about someone really does show you exactly what kind of business is most correct for that person. You know, not everybody really should be having their own products. A lot of the calls that we do on Wednesdays really say that if this person even tried to go out and create an information business of their own, they're going to be miserable. It would not create the life that they've always dreamed about leading. And that is totally fine. So don't try to make yourself into something that would not give you the life of your dreams. Go do it differently. Become an affiliate and sell other people's stuff. Make a lot of money. Have a lot less work to do in the end. There's no reason not to do it.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason at all. You get to choose the kind of life you want. So the thing is just to structure things in a way that will bring that to you. And again, a lot of these things we've been talking about today, the telesummits and the giveaways and different things, you can do that whether it's that you intend to be an affiliate marketer or whether it's that you intend to have your own coaching or whatever else kind of program or you know, on the back end of it. It will still work. It's just a matter
literally every single strategy we've talked about today, Rhonda, applies whether you're creating your own products or selling someone else's. There isn't one strategy we've talked about thus far that doesn't apply to both types of businesses.
Sure. Yeah, and it's very, very true. So decide and realize. And Gina, I love the way that you do this on the gold calls is that you have people get in touch with what would your ideal day or week or month look like. It really shows you what kind of business do you want to have. If your ideal is that you want to spend 90% of your time out on the beach or whatever, then you probably don't want to do a lot of coaching where you have to be on phones with people for hours a day.
Exactly. And, you know, so often when I ask that question, the answer I get back is, well, I want to make X amount of money per month. Well, it's not about how much money you want to make. The money piece comes in way after everything else. It really is a matter of describing what your perfect day looks like, what your perfect week looks like, what your perfect month looks like. The more detail you can provide, the easier it is for me to get a clear picture of what your business would look like if that was what your life looked like. So think about things like, who do you want to interact with? Who do you want to spend your day with? How do you want to spend your day? What do you want to be doing during that day, that week, that month? And like I said, the more detailed you can be, the easier it is to figure out what your dream business looks like. And then we just need to plan the route for how to go from where you're at to where you want to be.
Absolutely, yeah. That's so true. So really, it's whatever you decide is okay. Never try to make yourself fit into a size 10 shoe if your foot is a size 7.
Yeah, really good thing. Really good thing.
There is no right or wrong answer. It's not better to want this type or that type. It's just a matter of figuring out what you want, what your goals and dreams are, what's going to make you feel fulfilled and on purpose in your life. And then you design the type of business that will bring you there, whether that's affiliate marketing, whether that's being a platform speaker and offering coaching or mentoring or any kind of thing that it is. Any answer is all right. It's just what fits you personally.
Exactly. And, you know, that's one thing that I'm really very adamant about. It really is no right or wrong answer to what is your dream life and what does it look like. It really means that regardless of what your dreams look like, they're your dreams. No one can ever take that away from you, and no one can ever dictate that for you. It would be totally wrong of me to go to my students and say, well, this is the kind of business you're going to create because this is what I think your dreams should be. It doesn't work that way. If I try to dictate that for someone, more than likely they're not really going to get anywhere near reaching their dreams and their goals. It's something that only you can decide for yourself. And don't listen to anybody else that tries to tell you what they think you should be doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, be really aware of that. There is never a one-size-fits-all. And there are some things that just make me so irritated, like, yeah, this is the one and only way to do it. Like, that's not true in anything.
It really isn't. My students
always laugh
because my favorite answer is, it depends.
It depends.
And it's for this exact reason. There is really no right or wrong way of doing it. It depends upon what your outcome is. Your goals dictate what it is you need to do. And only once you've looked at your goals in detail can I help guide you to figuring out how to do something.
Right.
Without knowing your goals, I really cannot tell you what the right way is to do it. I can only tell you what the options might be.
Absolutely. That's very true. And it also depends on your particular strengths as a person and your particular weaknesses. You don't have to try to be good at stuff that you aren't good at or don't want to learn or whatever. You can find other people who are strong or you're not. But know your strength and spend your time being within your strength instead of trying to improve your weakness.
Yeah, really, really true. And the other big thing to keep in mind as you're doing all of this is that the only person you're competing with is yourself. You're not competing with your competition. You're not out there competing with your friend or your neighbor or your coworker. You're competing with yourself. And the only person you're hurting by just doing blogging and nothing else is really yourself. So if you can really keep in mind that the sky's the limit, if you can see it, if you can believe it, you can have it, and then put a multi-pronged approach into place and really go out there and do a variety of things and pay attention to the feedback you get so you can take the next approach and go do that one too.
Yep.
And it really will build a business one step at a time.
Excellent. Really, really good advice and good help for people. And you get to design your dream life. You get to design your success. But the key is to design it and not expect it to just fall into your lap. There was this great exchange I had on Twitter the other day about hope is not a strategy. It's not a marketing strategy.
Well, with that, we are out of time, Rhonda.
Thanks, everybody. We look forward to coming back next week with a terrific guest. And you stay dry.
We'll see you all here next week. Thanks, Rhonda.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.